On the wall of my mother's living room, there hangs a statue. It's been there as long as I can remember, in her house and in all the previous houses in which we've lived. It's a statue of Jesus. He stands wearing a beautiful robe, his arms outstretched. There are nail holes in his hands. But on his head is a king's crown. This statue was created back in the 1950s when my father was a pastor. And funny, he was doing a building program at his church down in Galveston, Texas. And this was one of two possible statues that was going to go on the new cross that would stand in the church. They ended up not using this one, and the architect gave it to my father, and it has hung in our house ever since. It's called Christus Rex, Christ the King. My father also called it Christus Victor, Christ the Victor. It hangs in my mother's living room. One day, it will hang in my living room. It's one of the things which I will inherit. I'm in no hurry to get it, just so you know. But it will be a reminder of my father, my mother, their past, and also of this day. Because I mention that statue that hangs on the wall of our house, because we Christians, we make a bold and audacious claim about Jesus of Nazareth. We confess that he was crucified, he died on the cross, he was buried. But then we have the nerve to declare that on the third day God raised him from the dead. We claim that Jesus of Nazareth is also Christus Rex, Christ the King. And we also proclaim that he is Christus Victor, Christ the Victor over death and the grave. And that is a claim that is unique in the history of the world. As Christians, we say that Christ was killed. He died on the cross. He was buried in that tomb, a lost and condemned sinner. But he didn't stay there. On Easter, we proclaim that God did something that has not happened before and has not happened since. God raised him from the dead. And when we say that as Christians, we're not talking some Grey's Anatomy or Chicago Med, get the paddles out. We're not talking that kind of thing, folks. That's not in our Christian vocabulary. We are talking that on Easter, God stepped into the history of the world to do something completely unheard of. In an unknown, mysterious way, Christ was raised from the dead. In a new way, in a new body. He was Jesus, but he was more than Jesus. He was something new. No longer was he just Jesus of Nazareth. Now he was Christus Victor, Christ the Victor, Jesus the Victor, Victor over death and the grave. Jesus, the one who vanquished the power of sin and Satan. Jesus the Victor who made all things new. Jesus, who changed the rules of how reality works. Jesus, who is our Lord and our Savior. Now, as someone who takes my faith seriously, I will be the first one to admit this is a pretty tall tale to swallow. We should make no mistake about that. This is not some little proclamation of, well, Jesus was a really nice guy who wanted us all to get along, so can't we all just get along? That's not what we proclaim on Easter. We proclaim a drop your jaw, rub your eyes in disbelief kind of thing. That's what we believe as Christians. Easter is not about bunnies and eggs. Easter is about changing everything. The one who was dead isn't dead anymore. The one who was dead has been raised. Now that is an outlandish statement. And if you read the Gospels carefully, you will find that the disciples thought Easter was an outlandish thing because when they hear the story that Jesus has been raised, they have trouble believing it. The women go to the tomb on Easter Sunday. They do not go there with welcome back Jesus signs. They go to the tomb to anoint his dead body because he is dead and gone. When the women have this miraculous experience, they run back and tell the disciples. And how do the disciples respond? This is right out of our gospel for today. They thought it was an idle tale and did not believe them. Next week, you'll hear the gospel of Doubting Thomas, one of Jesus' own disciples, who when Jesus appeared to his disciples who were in the room hiding because they were afraid they were going to be killed too. When he appeared to the other disciples, Thomas said, "There's no way I'll ever believe it." In Matthew's gospel, we're told that even when Jesus appeared to his disciples, some doubted, even when they saw it themselves. Why would they doubt? Well, it's simple. Dead people don't come back to life. It doesn't happen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul describes how others react to the gospel of Jesus who was crucified and raised. Paul said this, "Jews think it's a stumbling block." The Greek word stumbling block isn't a word you know in English. It's the word scandal. Jews thought the resurrection was a scandal. Paul says the Greeks think it's foolish. Foolish is a word you know in English. It's the Greek word for foolishness. Is the root of our English word moron. Okay? The resurrection of Jesus is a scandal and it's moronic. Why? Because dead people don't come back. The message we proclaim as Christians, it is scoffed and rejected by so many people today. Why? Well, it's simple. It's a scandal and it's moronic. People who are dead don't come back. We like to think, well, we've got rational brains. We don't believe in ancient fairy tales like that. We're smarter than those silly disciples 2,000 years ago. We like to dismiss the disciples by saying, they made it all up, or they hallucinated, or they were overcome with grief, or they went to the wrong tomb, or they thought they saw something which they didn't. We like to dismiss Easter that way, except for one little thing that gets in the way. It may have taken Jesus' followers some time to come to grips with what they saw, but those followers of Jesus, the ones whose lives had been devastated and destroyed when Jesus died on the cross, something happened to them. Something happened to them that changed them and the world forever. Something happened to them that gave them the courage to challenge every set power and rule. And what was it that gave those ragtag followers of Jesus the courage to do that? It was simple. It was Jesus the victor. Jesus was alive. Something amazing and unknown happened on that Easter Sunday. And how did they know? Because they saw it with their own eyes. Now today too, we say, oh, you can't trust eyewitness testimony. Eyewitnesses, they see things differently. You can't trust them. And that is a fact, and it's been applied to Jesus' disciples. We can't trust them because we don't really know what they saw. But you know what? They saw something, and what they experienced led them to believe. They were there. This happened to them. And they saw with their own disbelieving eyes, and they came to faith. What they experienced changed Jesus' disciples, and it's changed the world forever. That's the testimony of faith. We weren't there. We didn't experience it. But we do know that what happened to Jesus' followers 2,000 years ago changed them 100%. And we also know that they did not delude themselves about what it meant when they started saying, "We have seen Jesus raised from the dead." They thought very seriously about what it meant when they said Jesus was raised from the dead. This was deadly, serious business to them. They understood what was at stake. Now, I say to our young people today, the greatest difficulty, the greatest challenge that Christians face today is simple. It's getting up on Sunday morning because church is so early and I was up so late and I'm so tired. I don't think I can do it. Right? You ever heard that one? You ever felt that one yourself? Well, let me tell you what the followers of Jesus knew was at stake when they proclaimed he was raised from the dead. They knew this. If Jesus' enemies killed him, what do you think they're going to do to his followers who are out there saying he's been raised from the dead? You think they're going to give him a bouquet of flowers? No. Jesus' disciples knew that they would face a dear and severe cost for proclaiming him raised from the dead. It would cost them their freedom. It would even cost them their lives. But you know what? They did it anyway. Why? Because they knew the truth of what they had seen. Paul, in the lesson we heard, the Apostle Paul from 1 Corinthians 15, he lays out very simply what it means for you and me if we are wrong and if Jesus was not raised from the dead. He says this, "If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied." Those are sobering words. Here's what it means in plain English. If Jesus wasn't raised from the dead, you and I, we are all morons. And we should be home right now sleeping because we're wasting our time. But Paul does not end with that verse. He has this next verse, which is one of the most amazing ever written in any piece of literature, when he declares, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have died." And then he goes on to proclaim that if Jesus has been raised from the dead, all of us who believe that he has been raised from the dead, all of us who live for Jesus Christ, we too have the promise that death is not it, that God has something in store for us, that we too will receive the gift of the resurrection. And he also goes on to say that all of us who live for Jesus, we are living life right. And that's no small potatoes. Because Jesus, he wasn't just a nice guy. He wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just someone who wanted everyone to get along together. He was and he is Christ the King and Christ the Victor. Here's what Paul says later in our lesson from 1 Corinthians. "For Christ must reign until he has put all of his enemies under his feet." Who reigns? A king reigns. He is the king. And he says, "And the last enemy to be destroyed is death." Who destroys an enemy? The victor. Jesus is the victor. And that's what Easter is all about. Now, we pastors, we know that on Easter Sundays, we have a very diverse congregation. Lots of different people here. Some of you are here because you're here every week. Some of you are here because you come some of the time. Some of you are here because you're visiting family or friends, and you're here today as a family. And some of you are here because Grandma said, "It's Easter Sunday, and we're going to church. No candy till church." And that's maybe why you're here today as well. Because you can't argue with Grandma, can you? But in whatever category you might fall, I want to say four things to you this morning to conclude my message. The first is this. Thank you for being here today. Thank you for coming to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That is important. Second thing I want to remind you of, leave you with today in this message is this. Easter is a big deal. It is the biggest deal in our Christian faith. The third thing is this. Easter is a big deal because Jesus is a big deal. Jesus is the biggest deal of all time. And fourth and finally, your life is a whole lot better and a whole lot more meaningful if Jesus is a big deal in it. He's not some little extra add-on. He's not some afterthought in our life. He is Jesus the victor. And those of us who know that, those of us who believe that, we have the greatest gift that we could ever imagine. Even better than a gigantic basket of Cadbury eggs. That's how important this is. Because we have Jesus the victor. And that's what puts the happy in Happy Easter. So happy Easter, everyone. And celebrate Christ the victor.